Welcome to the June 21st, 2012 meeting of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. We have 24 supervisors present, 5 are excused. That is a quorum. I will call us to order and invite those who choose to join in the reciting of the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone. I would note that goodies have been provided. I hope everybody saw the crackers and cheese out there by the June Dairy Month Committee. I think there was a little help from extension staff getting it here. So thank you for that. Supervisor Kyle, I'm going to give you the floor to give us an update on our county board picnic, if you would.
Well, I just put a questionnaire on your desk.
Can you speak into the mic a little bit more, please?
I put a questionnaire on your desk, and if you can have it filled out tonight and return it to me.
Is your mic on? Because we're not hearing you.
I got a red button on.
Okay, can you eat the mic? Thank you.
So
there we go. Thanks.
If you could get that back to me tonight. We don't know. Maybe you just want hamburgers and bratwurst or whatever. But we are going to have it at Neshonic Park or Suarez Park. And I think we're going to go with the CNC catering out of Bangor, the log cabin. And if anybody's got any games and stuff that they can bring along that day. And Mr. Ebert has offered his help in that morning to help us set up a little bit and stuff. If anybody else wants to come a little earlier, well, that's fine. And we don't know what to do about dessert. That would be a dollar more. And if we could have a couple cakes or something, or some cookies, we thought that would be good enough. Somebody said ice cream last year got kind of soft on them. I don't know. So
the survey is on everybody's
desk. What do you want?
Desk, okay.
Yeah. So
it's just like a real restaurant where you get to pick your menu. It's kind of nice.
If you got a big pocketbook, that's fine. Well, that's all I've got to say today.
Thank you. Any questions of Supervisor Kyle about the picnic arrangements? So make sure you fill this out and get it back to him this evening, if you would, please. Thank you very much for the work you've already put into that. I, for one, am looking forward to it and know it will be lots of fun. Supervisor conference reports and announcements. Supervisor Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I attended the 2012 WPHA WALDAB Public Health Conference late May, and lots of good sectionals. I'd like to highlight a couple of those. One of them is the keynote address by Daniel Steer called Public Health Agency Accreditation and Shared Services Delivery. And questions posed were, do we need and can we afford 2,700 local health departments in the United States? And is it politically feasible to change the current local health department structure? Wisconsin law does allow for shared services and joint exercise of power. So the question is, can we regionalize those services? It's a question of economies of scale and kind of comparable to school consolidations that have taken place across the state. If we regionalize, we must be sure to make sure that these regionalizations correspond to the values and beliefs of the region, and we must remember that some services lend themselves better than others to regionalization. And some of the models discussed were cross-jurisdictional sharing arrangements, creation of quasi-independent public health authorities, and a movement toward outcome-based services and billing arrangements. And he talked a little bit about a continuum of shared services from anything from a handshake agreement to regional merger contracts. So those are some things, to think about in terms of what's going on at the state level. And then we had the lobbyists for WALDAB and WPH come in and talk about some of the wins and losses of the last session. And I won't go into those because it would take way too long, but what came out of that, which I thought was very interesting, was that there's like quite a philosophical difference between the lobbying team and many of the public health members. The lobbyists were taken to task for failing to lobby for badger care because they knew that it had no chance of passing with the current legislature, and they were picking their battles. And many of the public health people felt that lobbyists were playing politics and catering to the governor when they should have been remembering their role as advocates for public health instead. So, very interesting conference.
Thank you, Supervisor Cruz. Other conference reports or announcements? Hearing none. Corporation Council report, Dave Lang.
I'm just going to give a brief discussion about minority reports, just so when it comes up, we know the procedure. First off, minority reports are only addressed in their ordinances in 2.02 parent A, parent B, which only addresses ordinances. It says an ordinance can be placed on the agenda if recommended by a majority of the committee or by a minority report. It's the only place where it's really mentioned. Our county ordinances do not address minority reports for resolutions, so you have to look at Robert to see how to deal with that. The past practices, we have had minority reports for resolutions at times. It's fairly rare, but looking back in the past, we have had, I believe, some in 2006, and I believe there was one in 2004, perhaps. So occasionally, they do come before this board, even though the majority in the committee has not recommended it. So the general rule is this. The minority report is the report from the committee that does not agree with the committee report, doesn't agree with what the majority has done. The presentation of a minority report is a privilege granted by the county board. It's not a matter of right. Now, this is from Robert's Rules of Order. So here's the procedure. A committee member in the majority gives the committee report. It's number one. In this case, it's fairly brief. There's a resolution that failed, so there'll be a brief discussion of that by someone in the majority from the committee. Number two, the chair would notify the board that a supervisor wishes to present a minority report. The chair asks if there's any objection. If no one raises an objection, the supervisor will give the report. If there is an objection raised, then the minority supervisor should make a motion to receive the minority report. Now, when you say receive the minority report, that's just to say, should we hear it? It's not whether we agree with it, just should we hear it? So just so you know, so if there is an objection, then the motion that is made, in this case it could be Mr. Supervisor Ebert, I believe his minority would be, a motion to receive the minority report. Again, that means to hear it, not necessarily pass it, but just to hear it. That's not debatable, that's a majority vote. Then if that passes, or if there is no objection, then the minority supervisor can give the minority report. In other words, a brief discussion of this is what happened, this is why we want to pass this. And then either that supervisor or another committee or another member can make a motion for the relief requested. In other words, in this case, it would be to pass the resolution. So that's those are the steps. One is the majority gives the majority report. Chair sees if there's any objection from the board to receiving the minority report, in other words, hearing it. If there is an objection, then there's a motion to receive the report, seconded, and then that's not debatable, and there's a vote. If the vote is, let's hear it, then the minority report is received, and there is a motion to, in this case, pass the resolution. And that is debatable, is majority vote. So that's the process, and it's a fairly similar process if there's an ordinance involved also. So I just want to make sure you're aware that's what I come up with reading Robert's Rules. There's not a lot on it. There's a couple of pages that deal with minority reports. And that's, I think, looking back, that's pretty similar to the procedure we followed in the past, although I think in the past we might not have asked about an objection. So that's
it. This is a teachable moment for all of us. My hope is that we ask any questions that we might have about that procedure now so that when we come to item 626, we're ready to take votes. So anybody have any questions of Mr. Lang about the process? Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So last month there was something before us, a resolution that came before with PRD, and that committee report had failed, and there was a lot of discussion on that. So instead of a minority report, the executive committee had their vote on their agenda for the executive hours when to meet. So actually that report actually failed. So when it comes to the county board, it should be, it's a failed vote, so anyone should be able to make a recommendation to approve the committee to approve the committee report or the, approve the resolution. It should be that simple. It shouldn't even be a minority report, I believe. It should just be the motion actually failed, so there was no recommendation. I know across the street that's how it is done, but we do it evidently differently here.
Yeah, yeah.
So there, I mean, I read this book all the time myself. So there was no recommendation because the motion actually failed in the committee report. So it comes to us, and at that point, you can make a recommendation to approve or not approve.
Right, you're talking about that. Which one are you talking about?
With the executive hours that came before the executive committee, when to meet.
Oh, okay, but that wasn't earlier. Was that wasn't a resolution, right? That was just a vote.
That was a resolution, I believe.
No, this is the first. No, I don't think that was a resolution.
626, setting of the time and day for the executive committees.
That's tonight. That's this resolution.
Right. So I'm saying normal. Instead of having a minority report, actually it failed. So there is no recommendation.
Under normal circumstances, that agenda item wouldn't even be on the county board's agenda because it failed in committee. The reason that it's on the agenda, the reason that the possibility exists to vote on it as a minority report is because a supervisor asked to have it placed on the agenda. But if it, but normal course, it did not, on this item 626 in executive committee failed, it wouldn't move forward onto tonight's agenda.
Well, I guess so I disagree with that.
Right. So any failed resolution from any committee at the city would come forward onto the full council's agenda? All failed resolutions
right.
included.
Right.
Yeah, well, then that
no
is definitely a difference.
There's no recommendation. So, because committee report.
Okay. Well, that's different than how we've done things. But in this case, it does have a mechanism for getting it before the board if there's a resolution or ordinance that has failed. We were talking about whether there was a vote on a motion of the committee.
Right. There was a vote in the executive committee. So that resolution failed, and it should come before the full
there
board.
There was no resolution, though.
I don't know. It's 626 resolution.
No, that's this resolution.
Last month.
There wasn't a resolution on the hours that I'm aware of.
No, it was just the minutes. It wasn't until the...
Right, it became a resolution at the point that Supervisor Geary requested it, which was after the executive committee took action on it.
The
issue of the executive committee hours did not come to the executive committee as a resolution. It was after the executive committee met... Did not make a change in committee meeting times, that then Supervisor Geary went to Mr. Lang and requested that a resolution be written, and that's what we have before us tonight. So that's the difference. It didn't exist as a resolution in front of the executive committee. Did that clarify it for you, Supervisor Richmond? Any other questions from you?
Madam Chair, point of...
Supervisor Hampson is the next hand. There's several hands up.
Thank you. One point that Supervisor Richmond made that I would take issue with is that if the committee, if that resolution failed in committee, the committee's recommendation is that we not go forward with that. So in this case, the executive committee defeated that resolution. Therefore, the recommendation is that we not change the meeting time. So a failed resolution is making a decision. That's my only point. Thanks.
Yeah, and I stand corrected. I'm mistaken. I thought that it didn't get written until after executive committee, and I was wrong. I apologize. It was a resolution in front of the executive committee at our meeting last Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Supervisor Holtz.
Now, I think the difference between the Planning and Development Committee one was that actually was a tied vote in committee. This, in your committee, you had a majority that wanted to stay at 8 o'clock. And so that your intent had majority support, so hence the minority report, which is different than we had in our committee.
Supervisor Friedman.
Thank you. My question is there a difference between a committee member asking for the matter to come up again through a minority report or someone else on the floor of the county board generally? The latter question would be, would someone who's not on that committee be allowed to bring the matter up again then as a minority reporter or called something else?
Yeah, I can look at it, but it would need to be a minority from that committee to request to be put on the agenda. That's how we've done it, and I think that's what it'd have to be. But could it be another supervisor? I'm not sure about that. I don't think so, but yeah.
Okay, we've had a procedure in the past where someone who voted for the majority was able to change their mind and ask for a matter to be reconsidered again. Or maybe I have that slightly wrong, but that's a different procedure?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that's reconsideration, too, where they're saying, okay, someone who won can say, I changed my mind, so I'm going to move to reconsider. And then anybody can second it, and because you could say, yeah, I think I changed my mind. We made that decision too hastily, and changing my mind on it now. Yeah.
Supervisor Burke.
Pass, you corrected the resolution.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Any other questions of Mr. Lang? This will come back up again for item 626. Thank you very much, Mr. Lang. Mr. O'Malley.
Evening. I have a number of items I'd like to report on. One that's a little bit unusual that I'll start out with. One of the smaller departments that doesn't get a lot of recognition is our child support agency. Child support is actually a part of the Corporation Counsel's office, but acts pretty independently. One of our more significant sized departments. Most of you may not come in contact with them, but the child support program helps families become independent and remain self-sufficient by establishing paternity or legal fatherhood and by obtaining and enforcing court orders for child support and medical support. I know you'd be disappointed if we had a county board meeting without having a couple of PowerPoint slides from me. So, Ginny, if you'd bring this up. That kind of didn't last very long. Just this last month, we learned that Meg Torgerud and her staff of almost 13 people in that department received the Certificate of Outstanding Achievement. That's not something that they receive on a regular basis. They are one of only 11 out of the 72 agencies qualified in all three performance measures. The most important is the ratio of paternity and court orders established per full-time equivalent employee, and La Crosse County had 1,415 cases established. La Crosse ranks second in the entire state. Only one other county, Milwaukee County, was able to get ahead of us by only two cases, or about 1%, in this most recent ranking. La Crosse County child support is also more efficient than others. If I could bring Meg forward, I'm going to ask her for any comments or corrections if I haven't got any of these statistics right. They operate with the sixth highest caseload in the state. So not only are they performing better than others, they're actually dealing with a larger number of caseloads statewide throughout the entire comparison and handling 35% higher numbers of cases per full-time equivalent employee than all of the counties of similar size in La Crosse County. If we could go to the next slide. I think graphically it ends up demonstrating that of the counties that we generally compare ourselves to on property taxes by population, they are handling 35% more than the average for all of the counties of similar size and yet producing much higher results. Next slide, please, and this is the last one. The child support proficiency is a measure of three separate areas. We're the only one of the counties of similar size to receive this award statewide, as well as to achieve above 100% in all of those. And I really think that Meg and her staff don't get a lot of thank yous from the people that they deal with, whether it be the non-custodial parent that is not pleased that they're having to live up to their responsibilities, or quite often the single moms usually and the custodial parents that are just struggling to make ends meet, and it can never happen fast enough. So Dave and I had a chance to visit with them in a unit meeting and to thank them for their work and really recognize them, and I just thought it was very appropriate for us to recognize them as the county board and to illustrate some of these statistics graphically rather than just try to read them, because I think it really shows the high quality of staff that we have throughout our county government, but especially in child support, that we don't have a lot of interaction with. And I just think that deserves a round of applause in my mind. So.
Thank you. The staff appreciate the recognition. I think your visit to the staff meeting was, I think, one of the conversations that took place after you left was that we do exist. I think that's nice. So, and Tara, your email was very well appreciated. So it's nice to be recognized. It's fun. So we don't always have a lot of fun, but that was fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you for your hard work.
Okay. The next couple items I have is in your packet is the budget timeline. You'll notice highlighted in bold a number of items that are coming up. For those of you, again, that are new board members, we end up building towards a process where we bring you the entire budget document presented in September. But leading up to that process, we'll be doing a number of budget-related items. So at the policy planning meeting, you'll be receiving your year-end comprehensive annual financial and audit report from our auditors from 2011. And we'll do a lot of intensive discussion around the issues with the Lakeview capital facilities and the choices that are involved with that. In August, we'll do a number of things with Highway and their capital needs, and then we'll jump right into, in September, starting to deal with some of the nuts and bolts of the big issues that are involved. So with that in mind, our meeting in July, we'll be here in this room July 9th, but in preparation for that, if you are interested in being able to separately go on a tour of Lakeview, I know the Veterans Aging Long-Term Care met out there. I think each of them found that was a useful purpose. It's actually easier than to have 29 people actually on a tour. So I'm going to suggest two dates if you listen a little bit. Wednesday, June 27th at 4 o'clock, so offering an afternoon time, and Thursday, June 28th at 8 a.m. I've got a sign-up sheet. We'll only have the tours if we have participants, so if people can't do it at that time and you'd like to have me make some other times available, please do, but that's next week. We figured during the holiday week it was unlikely, but it's Wednesday, June 27th at 4 o'clock, so an afternoon time, or Thursday, June 28th at 8 a.m. Jim Spropoulos with our facilities department and Pam or Wanda, our administrator or assistant administrator, will help guide you through the tour. So we're going to pass that around. If you have a chance to consider those dates and sign up, we'll be meeting out on site. We, of course, will post a public notice and that type of thing. But if we could pass that around. Or if you're interested and you're just not able to make those times, maybe make a note on there and at the bottom of the page, and we'll try to make another time available for you. Okay, then a couple of items that we're asked to be reported on. Skipper Liner is the first one. Great news to announce. We've yet to finalize each one of the documents, but the Skipper Liner acquisitions, which is not the original owner, not Noel Jordan, but the Jeb Griffith and his family that acquired the assets of Skipper Liner, has come to an agreement with the La Crosse Economic Development Fund and has agreed to pay in full the entire amount of the outstanding principal of $754,000 repaid to the La Crosse County Economic Development Fund. Monthly payments to begin in October at $2,308 a month, with a final balloon payment then of $500,000 in November of 2021. So it's basically a 9-year amortization with a balloon payment that will pay off the entire amount of principal repaid to the revolving loan fund. In addition to that, all of the outstanding property taxes have been brought up to date. 2009, 2010, and 2011, of course, are being paid in the two installments and are not currently delinquent. In addition to that, we still have to wait for the final confirmation by the state. They have to sign off on that. There are a few other documents with title company, loan guarantee, and some other articles that we need to receive. But both parties have signed off. There was no decision that had to be made by either the county board or the Economic Development Fund because this is completely compliant with the original resolution that this board adopted accepting the agreement with Mr. Griffith. It just took longer to put together than we had expected due to business reasons on his side, but he is fulfilling his agreement as originally planned. In addition to that, you should be well aware, and I'm sure Supervisor Schrader is aware of this, that Town of Campbell has come to an agreement with Skipperliner Acquisitions as well on a lease arrangement with lease payments back to the Town of Campbell and also paying off the state trust fund loan that was done to expand Skipperliner at the time. So I don't have the details of that. I just talked to Brent Smith, the village attorney today, to verify that they have come to agreement as well. So while we've been through some difficult times financially with Skipperliner's original loan process and everything, the new Skipperliner Acquisitions, the new company, J&B Holding Company, is fulfilling all of the issues that are involved. So,
any questions of board members on the Skipperliner issue? Supervisor Paff.
Thank you. What was the interest rate on ours, and is there interest on the balloon, the $500,000 in the end?
I believe it's a 2% interest rate over that period of time.
And it also covers the $500,000. It's not the $500,000 balloon is not interest free, is it? Or is that interest free at the end, or is it 2% on the upfront balance? And
actually, there's no interest on the $2,000 being paid. It's payments with no interest. That's what was approved. And the balloon payment is just to be paid. I mean, it's supposed to be paid in full, and if at that time, so.
So there's no interest involved at all.
Right.
On any of it. Okay.
Any other questions on Skipperliner?
Yeah, probably the other thing to emphasize, because that sounds like very attractive terms, which it is, recall that if the new owner had not decided to follow through on this, we had no security position to collect. So I think this is a very beneficial offer to our revolving loan fund, and recall none of those funds were property tax levy. Those were revolving loan funds received through community development block grant proceeds. So,
can I add one thing, Steve? The only thing I wanted to add is that the taxes were substantial. They were, I believe, between $63,000 and $64,000 that were paid for the outstanding 2009 and 2010 taxes. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Okay, next item I have is Park Plaza. We don't have a lot to show for it, but a lot of progress and work is being made on that by staff. We've completed the lease agreement, obviously, as you know, with Water Place One for the slips for 3 years and have received payment. In working with Water Place One and the city, you may have noticed the installation of the new La Crosse welcome sign adjacent to the roadway. We've released and eliminated the vacant NSP easements that were crisscrossing the property, which took a long time legally to get straightened out, so the site is more ready for development. We've actually got two different local developers that have approached staff and are looking through the concept of concept plans, one in particular that the state could end up accessing what are underutilized community development block grant emergency assistance program dollars that were assigned from the flood disaster of 2008 in La Crosse County that could be a substantial multi-million dollar investment in the development on that site. So we'll see if that comes to pass. That would obviously be a policy decision that would come before you, but the state is looking for using some of those monies that were allocated for La Crosse County to address development that would be a low-cost means of of stimulating development over there. We're waiting for the state to see whether or not those would actually be available, but they were underutilized from funds that were allocated here. So we have had two developers that have approached us on the potential for that. We continue to work with WaterPlace One, trying to develop a joint marketing agreement, WaterPlace One being the adjacent landowner. And in addition, we continue to ask for support from the City of La Crosse's Utility Department to finalize their actual needs in the sanitary sewer extension and what the financing is of that, because it is in a tax increment financing district. That's one area that we could use some additional help from the city to resolve those issues. But what I've tried to streamline very quickly is a lot of work that's being done. We're making some progress. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot to show for it at this point, but we continue to work on it. And the most significant is if the state were willing to allocate those dollars, we could see some good news before you later this year.
Questions on Park Plaza? Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Mayor, were there any outside developers that were interested in this at all? I mean, you'd have, I guess, spent some money on marketing plans some months ago, and I guess I'm more interested in getting developing as soon as possible on this.
We certainly are. We've been through, I could have the wrong number, but it's either three or four RFP processes trying to get developers and have not produced anything yet. So it was interesting that these two developers, independent of each other, approached staff to say, what if we did X, Y, Z here? And one of them is directly related to the availability of these state proceeds. So, again, we've tried an RFP and a marketing process and didn't bring a successful developer forward. This one is driven by a couple of developers that have approached us to say if we could put together the financing or a number of other things independent of the county, could we make this happen? So that's as up to date as I can give you, and you know, certainly we're just hopeful to bring you something soon.
So when you find out what the state has decided, I guess you'll bring a report back to us then, or
not just a report, but hopefully some decisions to actually proceed. That would be the goal.
Yeah, I think we need to have a priority on this, being that's been off the tax rolls for quite a few years now.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's been a priority for, let's see, I'm here almost 9 years. I'm sorry I don't have better results to, but it's been a difficult market. And if anybody knows of anybody with lots of money that wants to develop over there, we certainly will do everything we can to help him or her.
Any other questions on Park Plaza? Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does this not predate yourself, Mr. O'Malley?
Thank you for pointing that out. Yes, I.
But what I think is interesting, this board or the board before doesn't know the whole story of Park Plaza. And I think it would be helpful to the board if we could do the history of it. I don't know who would do that, and I know it would be a tremendous task to our staff, but I think it would help the board if they're going to do something with this, to compare it with what was planned and what has really come up to, and if we want to sell it for whatever, just the history of it.
Certainly.
I mean, it goes way back.
We can do that at a future meeting.
But, I mean,
meeting.
One big thing was delinquent taxes. It was a tremendous amount of money that was owed us and that, and we thought we'd get it through if we could form it out of a TIF and that. I mean, a history like that. It would be very interesting to new supervisors and maybe 4 or 6 years back.
I think we can do that later this year with a site plan and show people. And for you know, longer time members, you'll remember most of this, but how we acquired it, how we got stuck with the situation of having to demolish the old Holiday Inn, asbestos removal, the dollars we have into it, and the adjacent landowner. But certainly,
well,
we can
at one
do that.
Time there was to sell it as is, and it got 9 votes. So, I mean, I think that'd be interesting for even the older supervisor. Thank you very much.
Maybe some of those supervisors could assist in the presentation, because...
Well, there was a really good presentation when Mr. Doyle was chair of it, that give it down every step, but I don't know whatever happened to that and exactly who did it. But Steve might know more than I do.
We'll remember that for a future agenda item. Other questions or comments about Park Plaza? If not, I want to just pop back up to the Lakeview tour for a minute. I think there was a question about whether or not folks should meet out at Lakeview for that tour? I'm assuming yes. I'm wondering if staff can take the list of names that are signed up for each tour and see if there's either, you know, if there are enough people who use the van or do some carpooling, whatever needs to be done to make that as convenient as possible and as cost effective as possible to get people out there for those tours. So we'll assume that if you're signed up for a tour, that someone will be in contact with you to give you those details about transportation.
Yeah,
unless you're
going to
do it
right
now.
By email. There were six supervisors for Wednesday and two for Thursday. So if you change your mind, you're able to make it, write those dates down and times. You can email me or Jim, and we'll make sure to add you to the list. Just we wanted to make sure that we weren't having a tour if people weren't showing up. If you didn't sign up, feel free to show up at either one of those two times. That'll just make sure that we're more responsive. And if you weren't able to make these times and want a different time, email me and we'll work with you. We can even do it one-on-one if that's all that works out. This is that important, so anything we can do to accommodate you on, and there may be another meeting later on this year out there as well as we make decisions, but we just wanted to be responsive to start at the ground floor, and I know the committee found it was very useful to see the building and clients and employees. Okay, that's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. O'Malley. Cards and correspondence are on the back bulletin board. No meetings that I know of to be held during recess that we're not going to have. So, Supervisor Hampson, if you would take the chair for appointments, please.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move approval of the 10 appointments that are listed on the agenda.
It's been moved. Is there a second? Seconded by Dave Holtz. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Motion carries unanimously. Anything else for you, Supervisor Johnson?
No, thank you.
All right.
That takes us to the consent agenda, item 6-14, moved by Supervisor Plesha to approve the consent agenda, seconded by Supervisor Becker. Discussion on the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Consent agenda is approved. Health and Human Services Board Supervisor Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a number of items for you, starting with item 6-15. Resolution to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors requesting that the Department of Health Services incentivize more effective regional collaboration, cost savings, and efficiency in income maintenance administration by bringing more equity to calendar year 2013 consortia funding allocations. Whereas Act 32, the State of Wisconsin's 2012-13 biennial budget, eliminated the system whereby individual counties administer income maintenance programs and instead directed that counties organize into no more than 10 multi-county consortia for the purpose of administering IM programs. And whereas the purpose of the consortia model is to create regional IM systems that preserve essential local presence and oversight while maximizing certain efficiencies so that IM services remain consistently strong statewide. Whereas by legislative design, it was intended that IM consortia achieve cost savings by leveraging three types of efficiencies. Number one, the sharing of a single call center by counties within each consortium. Number two, utilization by all consortia of a newly created state-operated central document processing unit to perform scanning and coding functions that were traditionally performed by county staff. And number three, other efficiencies achieved by counties sharing the workload of application processing, eligibility determinations, and ongoing case management. Whereas La Crosse County is the administrative lead for the Western Region for Economic Assistance, IM Consortia, a collaboration of eight Western Wisconsin counties, which is uniquely collaborative in how workload and managerial structure is shared across county boundaries. And whereas the Department of Health Services deferred to the Wisconsin County Human Services Association, on how to distribute calendar year 2012 state IM funding, consequently adopting a formula that continued to assign funding to individual counties instead of consortia. Whereas the WREA and Northern Consortia were impacted most negatively by WCSA methodology, absorbing state funding reductions exceeding 30% at the same time that some individual counties actually received funding increases, and whereas using the current allocation formula to set consortia funding levels for calendar year 2012 would continue to place an unnecessary and potentially unsustainable workload burden on WREA, and whereas the Department of Human Services should be using a funding methodology that rewards efficiency and incentivizes consortia to employ collaborative service delivery models, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors requests that Department of Human Services adopt for calendar year 2013 a new funding methodology that considers MOE levels, maintenance of effort that is, better equalizes funding resources among consortia, rewards collaboration, and drives regional IM systems to leverage the efficiencies intended by the legislature. Be it further resolved, the county clerk shall mail a copy of this resolution to Governor Scott Walker, State Senator Jennifer Schilling, Representative Jill Billings, Representative Steve Doyle, and Secretary of Administration Secretary Michael Hipsch. The fiscal note is that a new funding methodology could substantially increase funding for the WREA consortium. I move for its approval and ask to keep the floor.
Supervisor Cruz has moved approval, seconded by Supervisor Veenstra. Back to you, Supervisor Cruz.
Thank you. This resolution would bring more funding to the WREA, which is the 8-county income maintenance partnership that we are, that our county leads. We've been recognized as having the most collaborative and cost-effective operating model. However, we're disadvantaged by a funding formula that took significant amount of state funding away from western and northern rural counties and transferred that money to more urban, central, and eastern counties. This resolution supports the creation of a new funding formula that would lead to more efficiencies statewide, and it would reward the consortia like WREA that have the most cost-effective models.
Other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The resolution is approved. Back to you, Supervisor Cruz.
Thank you. Item 616, a resolution to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors requesting the state of Wisconsin suspend the current request for proposal for Wisconsin Works, W-2. Whereas counties such as La Crosse have over 15 years of experience operating the Wisconsin Works program for the state of Wisconsin, successfully competing for past W-2 contracts due to a history of strong performance, cost effectiveness, and a dedication to excellence. And whereas the recently released W-2 RFP put counties at a competitive disadvantage in the selection process and appeared to be deliberately designed to privatize W-2, whereas wholesale privatization of W-2 would dismantle the current cost effective integrated delivery system that exists in La Crosse County and many other parts of the state, whereas W-2 privatization takes away local involvement, local oversight, and local responsibility for service delivery, which could result in negative impacts to county residents and local county economies, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors requests that the state of Wisconsin immediately suspend the current RFP for W-2 and begin to develop a new RFP based on input from all stakeholders involved in the W-2 program. Be it further resolved, the county clerk shall mail a copy of this resolution to Governor Scott Walker, State Senator Jennifer Schilling, Representatives Jill Billings and Steve Doyle, and Secretary of Administration Michael Hipsch. The fiscal note is that the current RFP for Wisconsin Works might dismantle the very cost-effective existing integrated system. I move for its approval. It was unanimously supported by the Health and Human Services Board.
Moved by Supervisor Cruz, seconded by Supervisor Holtz. Discussion on this resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That resolution is approved. Back to you, Supervisor Cruz.
Thank you. Item 617 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors in support of policy of tax equity on other tobacco products. Whereas other tobacco products very similar to cigarettes, such as little cigars and cigarillos, present the same health risk as cigarettes, yet are taxed at a significantly lower rate, which makes them cheaper and more accessible to children. And whereas such products are offered with candy flavoring and bright colors, making them extremely appealing to a younger, non-smoking audience, whereas the use of these products is on the rise among youth, and these products are addictive in nature, likely to result in a lifelong addiction to nicotine, whereas the tax imposed on cigarettes has been proven to help smokers quit and keep others, especially youth, from starting to smoke, whereas the costs resulting from the use of tobacco negatively affect Wisconsin businesses, taxpayers, and families, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby supports the policy of tax equity on other tobacco products so that those products are taxed and treated the same as cigarettes. Be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution will be mailed to Governor Walker, Senator Schilling, Representatives Doyle and Billings, and the Wisconsin Counties Association. There's no fiscal impact to the La Crosse County Board budget, La Crosse County budget, and I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Cruz, seconded by Supervisor Jerome. Discussion. Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm really glad that Mr. Mormon and the Health Department and Ms. Sobel and the Health Department are keeping us updated on these kind of issues. I strongly support this resolution. I would like to add another whereas clause if Mr. Mormon concurs with the with my suggestion.
For you, just point of information for all of us, whereas clauses have no merit in a resolution. If so, an amendment would be appropriate if you were adding something following the word resolved. So, I mean, certainly make your point.
I'll make my point, and I hope I can somehow amend this resolution. If I can't, I can't. Not only will this resolution help young people first not reduce teenage smoking and prevent further teenage smoking, but it'll also increase revenues for the state of Wisconsin. So my point is this resolution is important because teenage smoking will decrease, state revenues will increase, and that's just the nature of these kinds of taxes. And that's what my suggestion was going to be. It was going to read, whereas data suggests that by taxing other tobacco products at a higher rate than the current tax, state revenues will increase. Is that correct, Mr. Mormon? Thank you. So I would like to make an amendment, if it's possible. If I'm out of order, I'm out of order. But
so you're wanting to add a whereas clause?
So that right before the now, therefore, but resolved.
And will you read it again, please?
Yes.
Wait. Let's get let's hear it, and then we'll.
Okay. The amendment, the addition would be, whereas data suggests by taxing other tobacco products at a higher rate than the current tax, state revenues will increase.
Seconded by Supervisor Hamm. Oh, no, sorry. Seconded by Supervisor Veenstra. Discussion on the amendment to add an additional whereas clause as read by Supervisor Burns. Do you want to say anything else about it? Supervisor Hampson, to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would point out that this has been through two committees already, passed both of them unanimously. Would this amendment force it to go back through that whole process again?
No, the county board has final authority. We get to make edits.
Okay, thanks.
Any other discussion on the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is added. Any other discussion on the amended resolution? Hereafter known as the Burns Amendment. All those in favor of the amended resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Are we voting on
amended resolution. The amended resolution, which was approved unanimously. Thank you. Is that it for you, Supervisor Cruz?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Pedretti.
Planning, Resources, and Development.
Item 6-18, conditional use permit number 856, filed by Michael Sheldon and Larry Sobranek, to operate a secondhand retail store selling used items, older unused items, and antiques in an existing building on a 0.40-acre parcel of land zoned exclusive ag district in the town of Washington. I move the committee report that has 10 conditions. It passed unanimously.
Supervisor Pedretti moves the committee report, which is to approve with 10 conditions, seconded by Supervisor Becker. Discussion on item 6-18. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
Item 6-19, zoning petition number 1899, filed by Philip and Julie Kish to rezone from exclusive ag district to ag district A, an 8.25-acre parcel for one existing and one future single-family residence, and to rezone from exclusive ag district to transitional ag district, a 34-acre, more or less, parcel of land in the town of Farmington. I move the report, which asks for approval with two conditions, and it was approved unanimously.
Moved by Supervisor Pedretti, seconded by Supervisor Holtz. She moves the committee report with the two conditions. Discussion on this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. That is approved.
Item 6-20, conditional use permit 857, filed by Gary and Tammy Simmons, revocable trust to use a proposed 40 by 64 foot detached accessory garage to store materials and equipment relating to a construction business known as Simmons Construction, LLC, on a 40.65-acre parcel of land zoned exclusive A district in the town of Unalaska. I move the report with the eight conditions, and it passed unanimously.
Supervisor Pedretti moves the committee report, seconded by Supervisor Becker. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
I am not used to this going so quickly. Item 6-21, zoning petition number 1901, filed by Mark Varenkamp, acting on behalf of Alter Federal Credit Union, to rezone from Commercial District B to Commercial District C, a 0.53-acre parcel for a sheet metal business in the town of Campbell. I move the committee report, which has a subject to a deed restriction, and the report passed unanimously.
Supervisor Pedretti moves the committee report, which is approval with a deed restriction, seconded by Supervisor Holtz. Discussion on this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved as well. Is that it for you, Supervisor Pedretti?
It is, and I want it in the record book how fast that went.
Don't get used to it. I'm sure it's a fluke of nature. Is there a full moon tonight? No. Thank you, Supervisor Pedretti. Public Works and Infrastructure, Supervisor Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Resolution 6-22, support for inclusion of a multi-use trail in Highway 35 reconstruction project. Whereas the Village of Holman, in partnership with the Town of Unalaska and La Crosse County, recently created a South Holman Drive Corridor Plan, which promotes community identity, residential connectivity, and saves substantial use of infrastructure within the growing communities. And one of the key recommendations outlined in the plan was to connect segregated subdivisions within the corridor. Whereas Representative La Crosse County, Village of Holman, and other local communities believe this is connectivity between segregated divisions is enhanced by including the multi-use trail in the city of Unalaska is approximately Hale Drive to the Village of Holman. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby supports the inclusion of the multi-use trail to design for reconstruction of Highway 35 in the city of Unalaska and the Village of Holman. Fiscal note, there's no fiscal impact on La Crosse County. I move for your approval.
Supervisor Meyer moves the approval of the resolution, seconded by Supervisor Schrader. Discussion? Supervisor Doyle.
Thank you. I noticed that this resolution does not have the usual provision that says where we're going to send this to. And my assembly office, along with Senator Schilling's office, is doing a joint letter. We just drafted it today that we're sending to Secretary Gottlieb. So I would suggest that that's where this go likewise, to Secretary Gottlieb. I don't think we need to make that as an amendment, but I just asked the clerk to do that.
We'll take care of that.
So noted. Thank you. Other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That resolution is approved.
Item 6-23, approval of agreement with Wisconsin DOT regarding setting of a continuous operating reference station at La Crosse County landfill. The area immediately east of La Crosse County household hazardous material building fits the criteria that the DOT requires. Whereas the power of the building in La Crosse County would be required to provide power and internet service to the station, and would also be required to supply free of charge all necessary data collected by the program to the DOT and the general public. Whereas the DOT shall be required to construct an environment, provide and maintain the equipment, and obtain necessary licenses to carry out the program. Now, therefore, be resolved, La Crosse County Board hereby approves the agreement with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation for the setting of the course at La Crosse County landfill property according to the terms outlined in this resolution. Be it further resolved, that the County Board Chair shall be authorized to execute the agreement and accomplish the terms of this resolution after approval by Corporate Counsel. Fiscal note, there will be a minimum charge of the power approximately $60 per year from org number 6801 and account 7315. I move for approval.
Supervisor Meyer moves approval, seconded by Supervisor Burns. Discussion on this. Supervisor Schrader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The information collected evidently has to go to our IT department. Is that correct?
Mr. Spiropoulos looks as though he has an answer to that question, while the rest of us at the front of the room are struggling.
From what I understand of it, it's just an internet connection. The information actually goes to the state, and this is used primarily by people that have GPS units. Instead of going off to satellites in space, they'll triangulate from three points on the ground. That gets you much more accurate GPS readings. But our IT department will not collect any data.
Okay, it sounds like they are here, the way this is worded.
Is it in any of the where or the be it resolved clauses that it indicates that?
No, it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sixth, whereas it said, and also be required, this is at the end of it, to supply free of charge all necessary data collected by the program.
Mr. Engelson, you have
the IT department is responsible for setting up the internet connection. That's the extent of their responsibility.
Should this be worded a little bit different then? I don't know. But it sounds like there's some costs involved there.
Well, I've discussed the issue with John Parshall, the IT director, and he has assured me that there are no other costs other than the cost of the power. The agreement with the state is very extensive. Both Corp Counsel, myself, and some other departments received copies of it, and the state is really taking almost all the costs other than this power cost. They are assuming the costs for this setup.
Any other questions? Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
Resolution 6-24, approval for lease of property for a dog park to the village of West Salem. Whereas the village of West Salem has requested permission to lease the farm. Farmer Deer Pen located on Cross County land near Lakeview Health Center for the use of the dog park. And whereas the lease will be for a term of 5 years, and the parties will have the right to terminate the lease upon 6 months advance written notice. Whereas the village of West Salem shall be responsible for all maintenance and leased property, including paying all utilities charges to whose property as a dog park. Whereas La Crosse County agrees to lease the parcel to the village of West Salem for a rental of $1 per year, payable on or before July 1st each year. I made a comment that we met at 5:45 and approved the lease that Dave Lang presented unanimously. Now, therefore, be it resolved that La Crosse County Board hereby approves leasing the Farmer Deer Pen located La Crosse County property near Lakeview Center for a dog park in the village of West Salem according to the terms outlined in this resolution. Be it further resolved, the Crosse County Board Chair is authorized to execute such lease after approval of court counsel. Physical note, maintenance, utilities, and other costs for the lease shall be responsibility of the village of West Salem. Rent of $1 per year received from the village of West Salem. I move for approval.
Supervisor Meyer moves approval, seconded by Supervisor Ebert. Discussion on this item. Supervisor Paff, is your hand up? Oh. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved. Anything else from you, Mr. Meyer?
No, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Executive Committee, Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have item 625 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, adoption of sustainable building policy for facilities and purchasing. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby adopts the County of La Crosse Sustainable Building Policy, attached here to as Exhibit A, and the County of La Crosse Sustainable Purchasing Policy, attached here to as Exhibit B. Be it further resolved that there will be communication between department heads, the purchasing manager, and the sustainability coordinator regarding policy when purchasing RFPs are utilized and when building projects are planned. Be it further resolved that the County of La Crosse shall finance and staff its sustainable building projects at a level compatible with current budgetary constraints. Fiscal note, long term, these practices have been shown to save money and should continue to save money over the life cycle of buildings, products, and services. Each situation needs to be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. I move for its approval.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Hampson, seconded by Supervisor Landry. Discussion? Supervisor Schrader.
Question for Steve O'Malley, I guess. It says this is to be staffed up to our present operating costs, or is that what it says here? I can't remember whereas.
Can you direct me to where you're asking a question about?
I can't remember exactly. Sorry. Where the whereas is.
The resolve clauses would be, again, the largest concern. I think the policy pretty well describes the steps we would take.
But what I'm asking is, will it require more staff to do this?
I don't believe so. No, it's a matter that it holds us to a standard of evaluating what's the most sustainable effort for any kind of system design. I think it codifies basically the approach that we dealt with the LEC. If you recall that while we were debating whether or not to do LEED, part of what the conclusion was that it might not be cost-effective to do full LEED, but we were directed to look at each one of those steps and evaluate on a step-by-step basis. So I think this codifies really a similar approach to how we approach the LEC building. So we didn't hire additional staff to do that. Evaluating the cost effectiveness of certain measures in a building structure might require specific design or effort, but you'd end up doing that anyway if you want to have the most cost effective project.
Supervisor Burke.
Would you like a grammar lesson?
I can think of nothing more that I would like right now.
Did I misspeak again?
Be it further resolved that there will be communication that should be among instead of between. I think there are three.
Thank you for the grammar lesson, Supervisor Burke. Other discussion? Supervisor Friedland.
I'll just point out, since Mr. O'Malley talked about the lead situation with the LEC, that had we in the beginning had a policy like this that would have allowed us, even required us, to go through the discussion of whether lead or something similar was appropriate, then we might have gone further in that direction. Maybe not, but we might have. And what happened then was we sort of jumped into it midway after a lot of the decisions had already been made, and at that point it was really too late to go back and do things over again. So this will allow us to be very foresightful and proactive in the future.
Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As one who was on the committee, I think we did a good job with the other building. I just want to make sure that this does not somehow be used to spend a lot more money than we can do, you know, to, for instance, to do LEED certified as opposed like we do with the building LEED light. I just want to make sure that somewhere in here that's not, you know, something that is going to be used to spend substantially more money than we, again, I like the process we use for the other building.
Then you'll like the process of how we implement this.
Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to point out, in addition to the building, this also covers sustainable purchasing policy. And Brian Jostad went very far in looking at his whole process in purchasing, and he's made some adjustments that I think are just very, very good. And it's going to get us to a better, more sustainable place as an entity. And I just appreciate his staff help on that.
Supervisor Landre.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is, assuming we adopt this policy, does that affect the new building that we may be doing on the administrative center? So in other words, would our new administrative center be LEED certified, I would assume?
Let me clarify. This doesn't ensure LEED certification. It ensures that any kind of building project that potentially could be LEED or some other standard, it makes us as staff spend additional time to really evaluate what the highest standard is we can meet and help present policy choices to this body of whether or not it's cost effective to go to that standard or what might be something just short of that if that's the case. But it says that our policy is to systematically go through that review. Generally, remodeling doesn't tend to be covered, but as standards develop, we will continue to use this as our guideline if this is passed.
Any other questions on the resolution then? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That resolution is approved. I have item 626 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. Setting the time and day for executive committee meetings. This item failed in committee, and I'd like to ask... No, I don't. That's another one. This item failed in committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Hampson. We all know that this item has been... there's been a request to present this as a minority report. So as the chair, I will ask if there is any objection to a supervisor presenting this as a minority report. Seeing Supervisor Hampson, are you objecting
to hearing a minority report?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Supervisor Hampson has objected. That means that we will take a vote that is not debatable, that requires a majority vote to grant the privilege of hearing the minority report. This will be on the computer.
Ah,
sorry, Supervisor Ebert, are you making a motion to request privilege to receive the minority report on item 6-26?
I make a request that we so moved.
Supervisor Ebert moves privilege of receiving the minority report, which has been seconded by Supervisor Geary. So on the computer, not debatable, majority vote on whether or not to receive the minority report. That's intentional. A vote of 17 in favor, 8 opposed. The board has agreed to receive the minority report. Back to you, Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now, at this time, do I make a motion to? I make a motion to we approve resolution.
Why don't you read resolution 6-26 that's in the packet. So you could just do the resolved clause.
Setting of the time and day for executive committee meetings. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby determines that the time and day for the executive committee regular meeting shall be 4 p.m. on Thursday of committee week. No financial impact on La Crosse County. I move the report.
Supervisor Ebert moves the minority report of resolution 6-26, seconded by Supervisor Schrader. Discussion on the resolution. Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's a pretty straightforward resolution. The resolution speaks to opportunity. Do more county board supervisors have the opportunity to attend an 8 o'clock meeting or a 4 o'clock meeting? Do more members of the public have the opportunity to attend an 8 o'clock meeting or a 4 o'clock meeting? It basically speaks, you want to be more inclusive or less inclusive. In regards to preparing the packet, before we had an executive committee, we had a finance and personnel committee that met on Thursday afternoons. They generated probably twice as many resolutions as the executive committee does now. The packets were always done by Friday afternoon. Also, I should note there was something omitted from the resolution, but I think it's self-explanatory. This resolution would expire in April of 2014. The next county board would revisit the issue and determine what would be the appropriate meeting time for the executive committee.
Other discussion on the resolution? Supervisor Boyle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess with all due respect to my seatmate to my right here, I disagree in two respects. Number one is I find it very objectionable for somebody, including most of us on this board here, who are not on the committee to dictate to them what their meeting times are going to be. I'm not on executive committee at this point, but I understand that there was a fairly detailed discussion on the appropriateness of what time to have their meetings, and this is the time that most of the members of that committee had the easiest time getting there, and I think that is important to consider. Secondly, again, with all due respect to my seatmate, I don't agree that 4 o'clock is a more convenient time. I happen to have my own business, law practice, as people know, and I know what time it's more convenient for people to come to my office. And those early morning meetings, in fact, are easier for people with children, for people that have jobs where they can go to meetings before they go to the job. You get to the end of the day, if you have kids, you have 5 million things all to do right now, and then you have to go home and get ready for dinner. And so I think that it is actually more difficult for most people to get to meetings at the end of the day. And once you get the kids off to school in the morning, 8 o'clock actually is a very convenient time. 4 o'clock meetings, of course, don't end at 4:01. They're going to last till 5, 5:30, 6 o'clock, depending on what's going on. And I find that very disruptive for members of the public, for our department heads, and for our county board members. But I come back to the first point that I made, which is This is the time that that committee set, and I think that we owe them the respect that they can pick their own time as they deem most appropriate. So I'm certainly intending to vote against this resolution.
Other discussion on the resolution? Supervisor Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I struggled in this vote just now whether to vote yes to allow it to come to the floor or not. In general, I'm all for hearing issues, but this is not the place to make that decision. The Executive Committee voted when to have their meetings, and by a substantial margin, the time was picked. I think that should have been the end of it. I don't think it should come here to be revisited over and over again. So I will vote no on this.
Other discussion on the resolution. Supervisor Veenstra.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I discussed this a little bit with Mr. Geary on the phone, and I can appreciate that for some people it might be easier at 4. I do think that the committee hashed this out. The horse has been beaten almost to death at this point. It's struggling mightily, and the committee worked very hard to try and accommodate what we thought would be best for both the committee and the public. There was a choice to either start early or late. It was difficult for the committee to find time in the afternoon that worked, and we chose the morning and acted in good faith in doing so. I find, well, personally, what Mr. Doyle said about children qualifies for me, and that I have a lot of things going on with my kids that I miss being here and all the afternoon and evening stuff that we do. The mornings are actually better for me and also for a lot of people that I work with as well. I would ask people to vote this down. I do think the committee tried hard and acted in very good faith to try and find a time that would accommodate the public and members of the board. Certainly anybody who has an issue with the agenda items that the executive committee has can call anyone, can write, email, take some time off and get up nice and early and come to one of these really fun meetings. There's nothing really stopping anyone from doing so and letting members of the committee know concerns they might have about an agenda item, even putting a memo together to submit to the committee. People have come to the meetings at 8 o'clock. So we tried really hard, and I guess I just ask people to vote this down.
Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've enjoyed this debate for a lot of reasons. A lot of good points made on both sides. But I do have a few things I want to add to the debate that I think haven't been brought up yet, and I appreciate the time to do that. But I also want to say that debate's been good because of participation. And we have a strong majority of supervisors here tonight participating in this debate, either through intelligent discourse or through active listening. And I think that's an important thing to consider as I go through a couple of points. For those supervisors who are new to the county board, and those who have recently been elected in the last few terms, I want to just kind of review a few things, history that I think will be helpful when you make this decision tonight. Our current practice is to have all of our regular county board meetings, which we're having right now, at 6 o'clock in the evening, and that decision was made. At our April 2002 reorganizational meeting. So way back in April 2002, I was first elected to the county board. That was one of the first votes I took, and I was very proud to take that vote because I heard from my constituents, or soon-to-be constituents, while I was running for election, that they wanted more constituent-friendly meeting times. I was proud to take that vote. I know Mr. Doyle. I look back at the minutes. Mr. Doyle took that vote. In fact, there are 10 supervisors in this room who took that vote back in April 2002. Nine of them voted in favor of changing the meeting from what it was 9 in the morning to 6 o'clock at night. Okay? So that's a little history there. Since I've been on the county board, and this is my sixth term, every public hearing that I've ever attended and that I recall has always been in either the late afternoon or early evening. I wonder why that is. I think it's because, again, the public needs, we care that the public attends the public hearings. That's important. We want to be accessible to the public. I think it's why Mr. Doyle and 9 other people in this room voted to change the meeting from 9 in the morning until 6 at night. One of the committees that we have, the PR&D committee, as we all know, they have their public hearings again in the afternoon. Again, I think that's...
Supervisor Burns has the floor.
I apologize. Anyway, I stand corrected. The meetings either start in the afternoon or early evening. Okay, so again, it's about public accessibility. So I think there's a lot of compelling reasons why we should, and this is no, I'm not saying anything negative or bad about the executive committee. I know that they want to do what's in their self-interest, and I know I really empathize with Mr. Veenstra, because I have kids too, and I'm missing nighttime right now with my children. But you know, again, it's something I'm able to work through, and I made a commitment to be here, and I'm gonna be here as much as I possibly can. So I think there's accessibility issues that I think we need to consider, and I also think for our own constituents, want meetings that are more constituent friendly meeting times, and I want to be there if there's an issue that comes up, so I can represent my constituents. And you know, the executive committee is not just any other committee. It is the most important standing committee that we have on the county board. And so if it was just another committee or commission or adjunct committee or temporary committee, I would say, you know, maybe we shouldn't spend so much time on this. But I think this is important to spend time on because it is such an important committee. And I guess in closing, I just want to say one thing. If none of those arguments make sense, I want to go back to some logic that I really enjoyed taking in college. Here's a syllogism I want you to consider. Three statements: more accessible public meetings lead to greater public participation. I think we can all agree on that. Greater public participation leads to a stronger democracy and better results. I think we can agree on that. If you can agree on those three statements, then you probably hopefully can agree that, therefore, more accessible public meetings leads to a stronger democracy and better results. And again, this has nothing against the executive committee. I understand what you're going through in trying to set the meeting times. I respect that completely. I think I would just challenge even the people who voted against this executive committee. I want to challenge you to think outside of our own self-interest and try to look at the greater interest, the best interest of the public and the constituents we serve. Thank you.
Other discussion? Supervisor Schrader, I'm going to ask you to withhold from that, please. Thank you. Supervisor Burke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I'm not going to go into the history of my child care dilemma. I certainly started at 7:35 every morning, and an afternoon would have been much better for me to extend that care. But I've been on the executive board since, I think, 2002, and at that time it was always an afternoon meeting, and I thought that was a good time for the meeting, and I still support in my mind having an afternoon meeting, one that I think is more accessible. I don't know, has that sheet with the Lakeview gone all the way around, and is it up in front yet? No, I want to know. It was 8 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Did you have more in 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 8? Which?
No, more than 8.
8 o'clock? All right. I think that gives an indication of perhaps availability at that time. I prefer the afternoon meeting and will support the idea because I thought it worked much better for the board when we had that opportunity for supervisors to attend, and it seems to me that the nature of the executive committee is what would lead me to believe that it is different than other committees in that it often has resolutions and things coming through it that do not go to other committees or that have gone to other committees and then will be coming through the executive.
Can I see a show of hands of others who want to be heard on this, just to make sure I have everybody? Thank you. Is your hand up, Supervisor? Okay. Supervisor Plesha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, one of the flaws in this is we're setting a precedent. It's everyone else changing a committee time without the committee making their own time. In reference to finance and personnel, which I also sat on that committee with Mr. Geary, it met at 1 o'clock. So there was plenty of time to put the packets together. It didn't meet at 4, which may go on to 6 after that, and then after that they have another meeting setting agenda prep. So therefore it does take more time to put it together, and it is a little bit different than it was back then. Most of our meetings started at 9 o'clock at that time, and those different times changed. As far as the 2002 change to go to a later evening meeting, I'd like you to take a look at our gallery over here. At 9 o'clock, we used to have a full gallery, and a lot of people who worked for the county took their breaks and came down and watched county board meetings. We had a lot of school people that came in. We had a lot of different things that we're kind of discounting at this point. I've noticed many times when we had our night meetings, we were always expecting a large group of people in the gallery out here, and quite often if there's an issue that is a housekeeping situation in PR&D or a different type of zoning issue, you'll see those people here because it's their issue that they need to be here for. But they also did come at 9 o'clock if it was an issue that they needed to be here for. So I just don't like the idea of setting a precedent, because next month we could come in and change PR&D if we wanted to and let the county board decide when that meeting is going to take place. So I think we're setting a precedent here, and I hate to see that happen. Thank you.
I just, for the record, want to note that those folks who are in the gallery, no disrespect is meant by that. We're happy that you're here, including members of the media. Supervisor Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I agree with what Roger Plusher had to say, because it summarizes just about what I was going to say, that what's happened in the past. For those of you who think that the public won't come because of the time, when it's an issue, you're wrong. Any of you that sat through the sign ordinance, the discussions we had on that, no matter when we had the meeting, they were here. So my feeling is that the supervisors set the time on this meeting, and it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and if there's an issue they're interested in, they'll be here. I intend to vote no on it. Thank you.
Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you. I'd just like to reflect back to when former Chairman Doyle, was on the executive committee. The executive committee changed times at least twice that I can recall, and it was not done by resolution. It was done by consensus among the committee members. And I think we have a long enough precedent of committee members coming to an agreement about when they meet, that's the custom we should stick to. And secondly, I'd like someone to talk about the effect on staff of meeting this very important committee late on a Thursday when they have to have the packets out on Friday. Who would be best to speak to that?
Probably the county clerk.
Thank you.
Who puts
those
packets together?
Currently, county ordinance says the packets need to be in the lockers on Friday at 4 p.m. The ordinance also says all material relating to these packets need to be to my office by noon. If we meet at 4 o'clock, there's been times exec goes 2-plus hours. That now puts us at 6 o'clock. We're then going to do agenda prep, which could take up to another hour. That late at night, I'll be sitting there creating an agenda with no one around to help approve it or make changes to it until the next morning. The next morning will be when Corp Council will be making changes to any resolutions, ordinances, amendments. We then are waiting for those. I still have to wait for all them to come by noon, get the packet together, get it to printing, and get 55 copies of it printed up. That's just for the packet. We also have the agenda that needs to be done, folded, stuffed in an envelope, and ready to be in the mail by 3:30.
Did that give you enough information, Supervisor Hampson? Anything else from you? Sorry. Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is just one of those unfortunate instances. I think the ideal time would be Wednesday at 6. Unfortunately, one of the members can't do that, because that would give, it solves all the problems
the staff has time to put things together, there's time for prep. That isn't going to happen under this term, and I think that somehow we have to, before people run, and have the meeting times preset, and yet I'm not sure how to do that. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Supervisor Pedretti.
I was going to pass because everything has been said that I wanted to say, except I am the member. I'm the guilty one. I have town board that night, and I have hours. I don't mind admitting it. But you make allowances on that committee. We did the same thing with PR&D. We had a member who could not come to our meetings. It is somewhat self-serving. It has to be. We have to have the members there. I'm going to vote against this. I think it does set a bad precedence and everything else that's been said. Thank you.
Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree. 8 in the morning is not for everyone that could be there. The issue is convenience for some, but not for others. The issue with the packets, I think that could be changed if it's in the ordinance. I mean, that should be a simple resolution, ordinance change. I attend many evening meetings on the other side of the building, and department heads are there. There's never been a complaint. That's part of their salary for coming to the evening meetings. And I think they're paid very well at the county to do that. And I think that in justification for the public to be at those meetings, whether it's in the evening, 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock, I think we are missing an opportunity for the convenience of the public. We're concentrating on whether somebody starts their law office at 8 in the morning, whether they have a job somewhere else. What is the convenience? Is it for the public or is it for the members of the executive committee? And I'm certainly going to support a different time. Thank you.
Supervisor Landry. Before you start, Supervisor Landry, anybody else wishing to be heard for the first time on this? Okay. Supervisor Landry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll make this quick because I think everybody's made their point. The one thing I would like to add that hasn't been said is in terms of the voting on this initially in executive committee, I'll just read it. It says that the motion failed on a 2-5-2 vote. And those who were absent have both voiced their opposition to this. So in reality, if they would have been there, it appears that they would have both, that would be Mr. Meyer and Mr. Veenstra, would have voted against this. So in reality, among executive members, it would be 7 against and 2-4. Thank you.
Supervisor Schrader, anybody else wishing to be heard for the first time on this? Supervisor Schrader.
I move to end debate.
There's only one hand up. Okay. So Supervisor Schrader's made a motion to close debate, seconded by Supervisor Meyer. All those in favor of closing debate signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Let's go on the computer for this. Closing debate, yes. Continuing to debate, no. The motion to close debate has failed on an 11-13 with 11 in favor, 13 opposed, and 1 abstention. Debate is open again, and Mr. O'Malley has asked for a point of clarification.
Yeah, I'm just sorry. I couldn't put my hands on the Lakeview tours. It was actually reversed. There were more people at 4 o'clock than at 8. I just don't want to mislead anybody. I just didn't have that in front of me. So it was 6 people at 4 o'clock and 2 at 8. So.
Supervisor Doyle.
I just want to make sure I gave you the facts. However you debate this.
Supervisor Doyle is the last person wishing to be heard that I saw before the motion to debate was closed. So you have the floor, Supervisor Doyle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since I was referred to by a couple of the speakers. I want to address those particular points. I believe in 2002, when we set that night meeting, that in fact was the day I was elected county board chair, and then one of the things I ran on was the idea of having night meetings. Night, not late afternoon, night meetings. There's a difference between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. in terms of the convenience of the public. If this was a question between 6 and 8 in the morning, if I didn't care what the committee itself thought, I would probably be inclined to support 6, but I don't think that 4 o'clock is something that's convenient. Supervisor Richmond made reference to, you know, this, essentially along the lines, who cares what this law practice has to say about this. It has nothing to do with the operation of my law practice. It has to do with when people tell me, members of the public tell me that they are available to come to meet with me. They're not telling me that they want to come at the end of the day. They're telling me that it's more convenient for them, members of the public, to come to see me first thing in the morning than it is late in the afternoon. That was my point by referencing the law office. Thank you.
Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this has been a great discussion, a great debate, and this debate is only possible when elected officials are present. And we have a strong majority here. And again, I don't think the intention of this resolution is to micromanage the committee. I hold the committee in high regard, and I understand your struggles and your the difficulty of finding a time that's going to get everyone on the same page. I completely respect that. My whole theme here is just, how can we better serve the public? And if anything comes out of this discussion and debate, I hope in the future we can, you know, continue to find ways to serve the public and make ourselves accessible, because without accessibility, our democracy just won't function as well. Thank you.
Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I concur with Mr. Doyle. I like the 6 o'clock time. My original thought was the 6 o'clock time on Wednesday. Because somebody on the executive committee couldn't meet that time, I deferred to a different time on a different day that I thought was accessible to everybody. Our county board meeting was on Thursday night. So I was assuming Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock was accessible to at least all the supervisors. My preference is 6 o'clock. If somebody would like to amend this, I think Mr. Lang, they could amend this to a different time. But how did I pick that time? Because I tried to be accommodating to the entire county board. When I found out a member of the executive committee couldn't meet at that time, I moved the day.
Nobody else has requested to speak on this issue, so I accept Supervisor Richmond, who just raised her hand. Supervisor Richmond.
Well, I'd just like to make a statement, an apology to Supervisor Doyle. I was not referencing his attorney's office, and I apologize if you thought I was. It was another attorney. Thank you.
Supervisor Burke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to appreciate Mr. O'Malley indicated, because when the sheet came around to me, it seemed that most people had the 4 o'clock free as far as supervisors, and this was one part of the aspect as well. The aspect was whether or not it was more convenient or easier for supervisors. That was one point that I was trying to make with that. I thought maybe my eyes were fooling me. But secondly, I went to the city police to ask them about the next thing that's coming up about the hours of operation. And I have driven into La Crosse enough times to know what the traffic pattern is.
This is going to be germane to this resolution?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good.
You will see. Even though I got a C in logic, unlike probably Supervisor Burns, who probably had an A in logic, I think it has a little logical thing to it. The traffic when you come into La Crosse in the morning between 7 and 8, well, actually 6:30 to 8, is hellacious. And but if you come in just after 8 o'clock, that there isn't as much traffic. Well, that would indicate to me that people are obviously coming to work at that time. Then I also think that many people work shifts 7 to 3, 3 to, I mean, yeah, 7 to 3, 3 to 11, 11 to 7. The other thing is, when I check the afternoon traffic, however, the greater amount of the traffic does occur. It starts at about 4 o'clock and then goes to 5:30, which would lead me to believe that more people are free at that time because they are on the road. So my conclusion was that there are fewer people free after 8 o'clock or at 8 o'clock than there would be at 4.
Supervisor Meyer, do you have a logic argument for us?
Yes, I call for the question.
Supervisor Meyer has moved to close debate, seconded by Supervisor Paff. Just to be consistent here, I have no other hands that were raised this time. So all those in favor of ending debate signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The noes are Burns, Ferries, Richmond, Friedland, Ebert, and Geary. That motion has passed. Debate is ended. We will, on the computer, vote on the Minority Report Resolution 6-26. Yeah, if you're voting on this as if it's a regular resolution. So yes, if you are in favor of the resolution. No, if you are opposed. So yes, if you want to move the executive committee meeting time to 4 p.m. on the Thursday of committee week. No, if you are opposed to that. Supervisor Veenstra, we're voting right now. The resolution has failed on a vote of 9 in favor, 16 opposed. Back to you, Supervisor Hampson.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to absorb this.
You're reading item 6-27.
I know. Can you just go through that? What was the vote again?
Item 6, it's up on the board. 9 in favor, 16 opposed.
Okay. All right, thanks. Speaking of serving the public, I have item 627, the first reading of an ordinance to amend section 3.07 of chapter 3 of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin, regarding hours of operation. This is the first reading, and to clarify a couple of points about serving the public, I would like Mr. O'Malley to make some comments on this.
Mr. Murray, you have the floor.
Thank you. What's before you, we've had quite a bit of discussion over several meetings, as you know, on amending the ordinance, and the vast majority of offices downtown are observing the 8:30 to 5, but the concept that the executive committee is presenting to you is recognizing that not every office operates that way, and that we ought to be driven by the needs of the public to access our services. And earlier this week, I was asked to come to a judges' meeting, and the what was communicated to me was that the judges were frustrated that we had not acted quickly enough on moving the office hours in that building from 8:30 to 5, but from 8 to 4:30. And I explained to them that it's currently in ordinance that those are operating hours, that until the board changes it or even considers and had not yet considered this item, that there was no authority to change the hours of operation at the building. Certainly, we're in one of those kind of overlapping authority situations where the judges can obviously determine when the courts themselves operate, and we're there to serve the courts, while our employees also are independent of the judiciary as far as they're operating. So they've urged me to and are interested in implementing the hours from 8 to 4:30. I think that it would be confusing to the public if part of the building were operating at one time and the other part were not operating at that same time. So I believe that discretion is the better part of valor, and we ought to work with the judges on moving to the 8 to 4:30, that we would also then at the front desk keep track of who is not being served from 4:30 and beyond and revisit this issue if that was the difficulty of the public to access services. And then if this ordinance passes as it's being considered, I would come back and report to you how that was happening, how it was working for the public, and then we'll also revisit that issue within this building. And if there are any changes made for this building, of course, I would also report back to you.
Supervisor Hampson, you yielded the floor, so back to you.
Mm-hmm.
having given this a lot of thought, and us as a body having batted this around for about 4 months, I would like to suspend the rules and do both readings tonight. Based on the fact that we've worked on this for a long time, we've had a lot of research and a lot of discussion, and I think we've come up with a really beautiful solution that incorporates two important things. The county board sets the policy, that is, serve the public, and second, that the staff take care of implementing that policy. So I would like to suspend the rules and do both readings tonight.
So Supervisor Hansen makes a motion to suspend the rules, seconded by Supervisor Doyle. This, so everyone knows, I'm not sure we've done this yet this term, this requires a two-thirds vote to suspend the rules. What Supervisor, the effect of what Supervisor Hansen is asking for is that we consider both first and second readings tonight. The only way that we can do that is if her motion that's before us now to suspend the rules passes on a two-thirds vote.
And it's debatable.
And we, it, the motion to suspend the rules is debatable, so we will have that debate first on whether or not we want to suspend the rules. Supervisor Schrader.
Point of information, I guess. I just wanted to hear what the reasoning for the judges for wanting to change the hours.
Mr. O'Malley was in attendance at the judges' meeting, so he's probably best equipped to do that.
Certainly. As I understand it, they believe that the members of the public that are getting ready for court, attorneys, clients, are coming well before 8:30, and that in order to get established for the order of the court, that it's easier for them to start at 8 than at 8:30. They also asserted that the vast majority of other counties in the area operate 8 to 4:30. We're one of the only ones, according to the information they've given me, that operates at our current 8:30 to 5.
Mr. Wang has a correction.
Just that the motion to suspend the rules is not debatable.
Good thing you asked for a point of information. Kind of sneaked in. So it is not debatable that the question of suspending the rules, from this point forward, I'm going to keep us on the computer voting. So it takes a two-third vote of members present to suspend the rules on the computer. Yes, if you are in favor of suspending the rules and allowing first and second reading of the ordinance tonight. No, if you are opposed. Motion to suspend the rules has been approved on a 17 in favor to 8 opposed vote. So we will consider first and second reading tonight on this ordinance. So discussion on the ordinance itself. Supervisor Burke.
Madam Chair, I have a motion to amend. I did give this to the clerk earlier. Like to, and this I'll be referring to the underlined section there on that starts.
Supervisor Burke, can I interrupt for just a second? My feeling, I don't think we actually have it on the floor, the ordinance on the floor. We voted to suspend the rules. There was a first reading, and then we got a suspension. It's not your fault. I didn't say it was your fault. I am correcting myself and just asking that we go back to Supervisor Hansen for a minute to get the ordinance on the floor, please.
Oh, thanks. I was wondering about that. I move approval of this ordinance change.
Supervisor Hansen moves approval of the ordinance to amend Section 3.07 of Chapter 3 of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin, regarding hours of operation, seconded by Supervisor Cruz. Now back to you, Supervisor Burke. Thank you for your patience.
Yes. I would like to amend the section that is underlined, which is the section we're dealing with, to substitute initial approval period for approval initially, initial approval period, and then I would like to delete and as often as directed by the county board. That's the rest of that sentence. and substitute the sentence, hours of operation shall be reviewed annually for continued approval, so that the section would read, the county administrator shall report the normal hours of operation for county departments to the county board for review and initial approval. Thereafter, hours of operation shall be reviewed annually for continued approval. I'm sorry, I think I left out the thereafter before. I think the clerk has it, though.
Supervisor Burke has moved the amendment as read so that the last two sentences read, the county administrator shall report the normal hours of operation for county departments to the county board for initial approval, and hours of operation shall be reviewed annually thereafter.
It would read, the county administrator shall report the normal hours of operation for county departments to the county board for review and initial approval. Thereafter, hours of operation shall be reviewed annually for continued approval.
Is there a second to that amendment? Seconded by Supervisor Gamroth. So discussion on the amendment, the Burke amendment. Supervisor Burke, you retain the floor.
I wanted to speak to it, and in committee we discussed this at some length, and I felt that that it was rather sketchy as to what happened after the initial approval, review and initial approval of the hours. And that I thought, in the interests of making sure that our customer services is as it should be, that perhaps an annual review, and this would keep us from having conversations each month about is this time okay, is that, that we would review it annually and for continued approval of those hours. And that would give us an opportunity to see how those hours are working with the public.
Discussion on the Burke amendment. Supervisor Holtz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I've been on the board for, I don't know how long, a couple, two, 3 months. This has been discussed the entire time. It's the only reason I voted to suspend the rules, because I was tired of talking about it. And normally I would have voted no. However, I think this amendment just is kicking the can again. Every year we're going to go through this. The county board still retains the right to change the ordinance anytime they want to. So if the hours set by the administrator appear to be in conflict and our constituents are up in arms, I'll bring a motion myself to change the hours. I think we can allow it to our administration at this point to try and make it work to the benefit of the judges, the public, and anybody else that has to use the facilities or the offices. So I'm going to vote against this amendment. I think the language, being a little vague, is still the best language. Thank you.
Other discussion on the Burke amendment. Supervisor Veenstra.
I'd just like to correct you on language. It's not vague. It's flexible.
Is that a legal term, Supervisor Veenstra?
Better word.
Other discussion on the Burke amendment. First-time speakers, Supervisor Laundrie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I worry that changing it the way that the Burke Amendment would open us up to long arguments like we just had about changing hours of meetings and such, and I would hate to continue that trend.
Any other discussion on the Burke Amendment for the first time? Supervisor Burke, back to you then.
Yes, it was that wording, and as often as directed by the county board, that was not specific enough. And if, as you see in the amendment, it does not say that it is going to need any kind of lengthy discussion. It just says reviewed annually. It's something that could be done in the planning meeting a year from when the county administrator sets that time to see what it was. Obviously, we'll have the initial approval, and that's when we'll get a kick at the cow. I see we've changed from cat to cow, but that certainly we'll have the lengthy discussion that Supervisor Laundrie was not anticipating will be at that time, I think, when he brings it back for that initial approval. And so then in a year, we would just be able to review how that has been working. And that way during the year, if there seems to have been some problem or there's a complaint, we can always say to the person, well, we will review that annually to see how that has been working. It was just a way of solving the problem of having to do it monthly or whenever it might come up. And it is also, I think, as often as directed by the county board, just isn't specific enough. Thank you.
Anyone else on the Burke Amendment? We're going to be on the computer for the remainder of the evening reminder. So if you are in favor of the Burke Amendment, vote yes. If you are opposed, vote no. It's lengthy, so you have to make sure you scroll down on your computer screen. The Burke Amendment fails, 8 in favor, 16 opposed. We are on the ordinance as presented. Any other debate on that? Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a few questions. Dave, when you close debate, is that two-thirds of the members present or two-thirds of the county board?
Okay. Two-thirds of members present.
Okay. Okay, and on the first page on the analysis, it says in your last sentence, the county board will review and approve the hours of operation. Does that mean the resolution comes to the county board, or how do we review and approve it? Do we do that by resolution? First page, analysis, last sentence.
Yeah. It doesn't say, it just says says report.
No, it says the county board will review and approve.
Right.
So how do we review and approve it? Does it come in as a resolution?
You could do it by resolution, just have the hours and have it come in.
I'm not asking how we could do it. I'm asking what the ordinance says we're going to do it, how we're going to do it. You wrote it.
Yeah. Well, it just says it's going to be approved. I think normally it's by resolution. It's not by ordinance.
So what are you saying? We're going to get a resolution next month on the hours?
Well, a report can do it by resolution.
What? Am I reading this wrong? Under analysis? On the very
I think the hesitation is whether or not it's going to come next month.
Oh, okay. I mean, it could come some other time.
It will come to the county board in a resolution when the administration has figured out the best hours.
Okay, that's fine. It could be July or August or something. Okay.
Well, we don't know what time. I think it's not helpful to set a time frame because we don't know how long it will take.
And any time it would change thereafter, the same procedure we'd get a resolution?
Correct.
A year or two from now, if you wanted to change hours to 7 to 3 or something, we'd get a resolution.
That would be my interpretation, yes.
And my only other comment is we keep talking about serving the public, but nowhere did we ever, other than speaking to your constituents, get the public's input on this. And I've made this argument many times. I've never heard a complaint about the hours of operations we currently have. I understand the dilemma that the judges have posed. Do all the buildings have to have the same hours? Is law enforcement kind of, they could be 8 to 4:30 and these buildings could be 8:30 to 5? Is that right?
I think those are the exact kind of issues that the county administrator will take into consideration in proposing the hours that come to us in a resolution as soon as that work is complete. Is that fair, Mr. O'Malley?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Supervisor Burke.
Yes, and when will we be making the decision as to how often we will direct that we will do another review?
Every day. I mean, it's a decision that can be made anytime the county board wants to consider it, it can.
See, that seems to be
super.
Not very.
Mr. Lang, do you?
I guess one reason it was worded that way is because it may be something that's set just like the hours now have been set for many years. So that's why it was set that it might be something that the county board doesn't want to visit for another 5 years. It might be something they want to visit every year, but that's why it was left that way.
But as it's written here, someone on the county board could every month want to review that, correct?
Would be as directed by the county board, not just one person, but it's the whole county board.
Someone could bring in every month about wanting to, again, discuss whether or not we should review it. And I mean, that was what I was trying to do with an amendment, was to say it would just be...
We're not debating the Burke Amendment anymore, though.
Okay.
We're done with that discussion.
I just want to know then about the direction. So it's just any time...
Similar to any other issue, a supervisor can ask for it to come through. Supervisor Schrader.
Who are the people that are evaluating the hours?
Mr. Malley, I think it might be helpful for you just to talk a little bit about the process that you've already been using and plan to use in bringing the resolution, because I think that will answer Supervisor Schrader's question.
I guess I'll ask my question. I mean, it's two questions, two parts then. Have you considered the traffic situation? If you're changing it from where it is now until 8 o'clock.
Actually, we'll consider a lot more than just traffic. We'll actually consider the needs of the clients. One of the points that I made to the executive committee is that the Health and Human Services building and department is not following your court ordinance. They actually operate at more hours. They cover more hours based on the needs of the clients. They've set the standard that we haven't followed in every other building. I'm going to use that model to say, determined by when the clients need us, just like Justice Sanctions operates on weekends and holidays, Health and Human Services responds to crises 24/7. The ADRC opens at 8 o'clock instead of the 8:30 because that's when their clients need to be there. I will give you a full report, as I already provided to you previously, how all the hours of operation happen in this community, and then make sure that we are as responsive to the public as possible, as well as keeping track of data of when people are complaining about when they're not served. So that, for example, at the law enforcement center, with the direction that the judges have urged, we have our frontline security staff there. They will be instructed to keep track of people that come in that are not able to be served by the existing hours so that we can respond and actually have data, so that we know that if there are a significant number of people not being served, we can revisit this. So I'm going to do this systematically, and I'll give you a report building by building of that, because we aren't currently uniformly following this ordinance in all downtown services. We actually expanded our services without adjusting this ordinance, and that's been primarily done by Health and Human Services Department. And we need to do a better job of that in this building, and I also believe at the Law Enforcement Center.
Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had one point to answer Supervisor Geary's question about public input. The departments did polls of the consumers as to who came in between 8 and 8:30 and who came in between 4:30 and 5. The general public doesn't give a rip about when county buildings are open. The consumers do. And those were the ones that were consulted, not asked outright, but a tally of who came in when. Thanks.
Any other discussion on the computer, on the ordinance to amend Section 3.07 of Chapter 3 of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin, regarding hours of operation, as it was presented first and second reading since we suspended the rules a little while ago? Yes, if you were in favor of the ordinance. No, if you were opposed. The ordinance is approved on a 22-2 vote. Is that it for you, Supervisor Hampson?
Thank the Lord, yes.
Thank you. Suggestions for future agenda topics. I would also take privilege of the chair and acknowledge the work of the Legislative Committee, although they didn't report out any resolutions this month because they went on to other standing committees. The Legislative Committee had a very full agenda this month, and I want for the record to thank the members of that committee for taking up that full agenda. Future agenda items, Supervisor Pedretti.
And if I could also thank UW Extension. They gave a very great presentation tonight. In addition, they provided the June Dairy Days snacks out there. So thank you to UW Extension.
Future agenda items, Mr. O'Malley.
I briefly highlighted your July 9th policy planning meeting, audit report, discussion of major capital facilities. We also, at your request, will have an update on the La Crosse Promise and the Joint City-County Housing Task Force. A lot of interesting information that I think you'll find useful at your July 9th meeting.
To make sure to come. A reminder that the picnic survey needs to be completed if you haven't already and forwarded to Supervisor Kyle. Future agenda items, Supervisor Jerome.
I just have a question. On the website, it said our next county board meeting is going to be at 9 a.m. Or, I'm sorry, the August one is going to be at 9 a.m. Is that correct?
No, it's not.
August 16th, 9 a.m.
No, we moved that. In the past, the August meeting has been at 9 o'clock in the morning to accommodate the county board picnic. I believe 2 months ago, we made the decision to keep the August regular meeting at 6 o'clock and schedule the picnic for August 17th.
Thank you.
So thank you for noting that on the website. We will make that correction. I'm sure someone will make that correction. Supervisor Burke. Anybody else give her a reprieve who she's got? Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For Mr. O'Malley, I know you have collaboration meetings with other city officials and county officials, and I was wondering, has there been any conversation on combining of services? I know the IT department and other counties have combined services with the city and counties. Have you heard anything in your discussions, or do you have any ideas on how we, as a La Crosse County, could combine some of the services that we are duplicating right now? Has there been any discussions at your collaboration meetings that you've attended?
Maybe. I can certainly report on that in the future. Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Did that give you time, Supervisor Burke?
I just, that flower envelope that came out, did you explain that at the beginning?
I did not. Okay. The envelope that's, I hope, has made its way through. No, some on this side didn't get it. Ginny, will you explain?
You explain.
What did he say?
The Flower Kitty is a collection of monies. We use them to send to flowers when supervisor family members die or go into the hospital with illnesses. For you, there's a minimum, yes.
Any other future agenda items? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn by Supervisor Friedland, seconded by Supervisor Richmond. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned. Thank you.